Well, we want to welcome you to a good morning here on Wednesday, April 12th, and you are listening to 88.5 KRFY. This is the KRFY Morning Show, and I'm Susie Prez, one of the hosts here this morning, and across from me, smiling with a big sunny smile is...
I'm your co-host, Chris Bessler. Good morning, Susie.
Good morning, Chris. It's nice to have you here, and...
Nice to be here.
Yeah, what do we have coming up today?
Oh, well, we have a great talk with a couple folks from the city, Jennifer Stapleton. She's a city administrator, and the public works director, Ryan Lutman. They're both here. Say hi, just so people hear your voice.
Good morning.
Hello.
And we're going to be talking about the reversion of the streets back to two-way downtown, as well as downtown redesign, Memorial Field, and other things that are going on with the city. Then the second half of the show, Susie...
will be the gals from the Panada, I call them. That's Patricia Walker-White and Becky Revac. They have a lot of things coming up, and instead of doing little tiny interviews with all of these things, we thought we'd get a big picture.
Okay, sounds good. But first.
First.
The weather.
From our very friendly National Weather Service. We have currently 43 degrees with light drizzle. And as Jennifer and I were talking before the show, you can feel the rain in the air and, in fact, 100% chance of rain today. High near 45, winds 8 to 13 miles per hour, becoming light east in the morning. That chance of 100% chance of precipitation will bring about a tenth to a quarter of an inch of rain. I don't know if that's a lot of rain or not. But it's light drizzle, it sounds like. Tonight, rain low around 40. Thursday, showers, 100% chance to 70% chance diminishing with thunderstorms. It's always kind of fun. Some break up the regular rain with thunderstorms.
Yeah, well, it keeps it interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know if everybody would say that's fun, but...
I do think I saw that maybe on Sunday there's some sunshine coming. Yeah,
well, we'd need some... dry weather for what's going on in town, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Other things happening outside, the sunrise this morning was at 6:03 a.m. and the sun's going to set tonight at 7:31 p.m. So over the course of the past week, with the days getting longer, we've gained 24 minutes of daylight per day.
We'll take that.
Yeah. Up at Schweitzer, the skiing has been actually great for springtime, and they even got another 6 inches of new snow over the past 48 hours. Haven't had any new snow overnight, but skiing is good for the skiers, and they're going to continue skiing through this weekend. And speaking of this weekend, it's Easter. Any special plans?
Myself?
Yeah.
Relax. I was in Missoula last weekend. That was fun, hanging out with my son, and... it's really pretty over there. They have a little bit more warmth, I think, for some reason. They're a little more south, I guess. And this weekend, just relaxing.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, Easter, of course, there are services all around town that are at the churches. Very important.
What about the city holiday. Easter egg thing?
And there is an Easter egg hunt on a Saturday. The Lions Club puts on their annual Easter egg hunt at Memorial Field. It starts at 10 a.m., my word to the wise here, having been there with my son, is get there early because it's more of an Easter egg race than a hunt. Those kids shoot out of there, and they're very fast at picking up the eggs. But I tell you what, even if you don't have kids, it's fun to go watch because it's a time of high excitement. And, of course, there's a lot of other things going on around town. There's some movies. There's music. If we have enough time at the end of the show, we'll come back and talk about some of the events in town. But you can always see the entire calendar of what's happening in town at KRFY.org or, of course, at sandpointonline.com, which provides the calendars.
You know, this is going to be an interesting interview today because everyone's wondering what's going on with the city reversion, with the going to two-way. I just want to throw out that if you can't hear the whole interview, you can go to KRFY.org. We are recording the interview, so you can listen later to find out the nitty-gritty details.
You can hear the recorded podcast. Go to KRFY.org and click on the podcast link at
the top.
That's
right.
And with that, let's get into the interview this morning with Jennifer Stapleton, City Administrator, Public Works Director, Ryan Lutman. Thank you guys both for being here again. Ryan, we're going to have to start with you because this is in your wheelhouse. So give us a rundown on, we know there's going to be a reversion to two-way streets throughout the entire downtown. All the one-way streets are going to go away. But what's the schedule now to make that happen? And I understand this is actually ITD territory, but I know that you must be working with them.
Yeah, this project has to be a partnership with both the city and the state. We have Fifth Avenue, Pine, First, and Cedar, which are currently a state route that will be transferring back to Sandpoint, at least Pine, First, and Cedar will. And then there's also Church Street, which is a city street that we'll be converting to two-way as well. So that's where that partnership comes in. I was asked at the chamber about schedule last month, and I think I stressed weather dependent. And so I think Susie's intro talking about weather is pretty applicable when we talk about the schedule for the two-way reversion downtown. Talking with the contractor, the goal was to get started April 3rd, and they're out there doing work right now. You're just not seeing it as much, but the crews are working on the light at Cedar and Fifth, because that will be kind of a key element as we look at the two-way reversion. Rather than flip a switch and everything happen at one time for two-way, it's kind of a program project that they've developed where we'll look at keeping traffic one way on Fifth Avenue, and that'll be the first leg that we convert to two-way. And so they'll keep a lane open through there while they do the demolition of the striping, and then do the striping itself for two-way, and then open up that stretch of Fifth Avenue between Pine and Cedar to two-way. And that'll help to divert some of the traffic maybe coming from the west, coming in towards Sandpoint, not to have to go downtown on those streets to go through and stay on a state route. And when that's opened up, the light at Cedar and Fifth will be ready to go and activate so that we can accommodate that traffic. They're going to move to Pine Street next between Fifth Avenue and First. And then the same kind of scenario with traffic control, leaving a lane of through traffic while they do the demolition followed by striping, and then convert Pine to two-way. And that helps to create that second detour of downtown. So we'll have both Fifth Avenue and Pine available for two-way use. And then the contractor will focus on First Avenue and Cedar, again, accommodating through traffic during the demo stage, and then striping, and then opening that to two-way. At that point, all the state route will be two-way traffic downtown, and then we'll get Church last. And so once that's in place, there's an opportunity to convert those downtown streets back to the city. The striping will include the angled parking and the designs that are in the downtown streets guide. The intersection of First, Church, and Bridge will have some limited turning movements, and these are some concepts that were developed, I think, in around December of 2015 to the first part of 16. And this will be a chance to try that intersection and the striping out before we move into downtown revitalization projects that make what happens at that intersection more permanent. But when I go back to schedule, again, I'll emphasize weather dependent. It's about 15 days of actual striping work. And so they can demo the striping during the rainy weather, but they need 4 days of dry weather before you put the paint down. So as we look at that weather forecast this week, we've got a flood watch in effect for the next couple of days. I don't anticipate seeing the striping happening without that 4 days. I looked at the forecast, and even into next week, we're seeing chances of rain. So I know the contractor and their team are monitoring weather closely, and the goal is to get downtown reverted to two-way prior to lost in the 50s.
But again, weather-dependent.
Weather-dependent, yeah, yes.
That's the big wild card here.
You know, having lived here all these years, it's going to be strange, but what I'm suggesting to friends and to myself is start looking both ways, even when you come to a one-way street. Just practice, and then pay attention, because you have to turn all the signs around too. Is that part of the whole process?
Portions of it is turning some signs around. There's some new signs in as well. And if you're downtown walking, you'll see sleeves in the ground. So the contractor has about 99% of those sleeves already in place. So it's only going to take 1 day to get all the signage converted. So everything's ready to go. It's just the demo striping, but the key is the good weather prior to paint, and that's what they're monitoring and watching as they move forward on the project.
So you say demo striping, is that just taking up the old paint that's on the pavement now?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then the stop signs, or the stop lights, have to kind of get recalipered to whatever's really going on there.
Well, there's actually new stop lights, I believe.
Especially on Fifth Avenue, probably.
Yeah, right now the city doesn't maintain a stoplight in town. Those are with the Idaho Transportation Department. And there'll be the removal of the light at Fifth and Pine with this project, but there'll be a new light. And you see the work happening right now at Church and Fifth. And then the street light that's at Pine and First will be removed, and the street light at Second and Cedar will be removed. So when we revert back to two-way, the city still will not have a street light that they need to maintain in Sandpoint, and the existing lights will still be on the ITD route. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can remember. Was it a one-stoplight town?
That's way kind of a back measure. Then.
Way back then, yes. So, what kind of feedback are you getting on this? Because I've been kind of surprised. We grabbed a picture of them putting a new stoplight up at Church and Fifth last year. They were working on it, and I was kind of surprised. Put up on Facebook, and I was surprised at the number of negative comments that they had that people were posting about going back to the two-way traffic grid. Has the city been getting feedback on it, or Jennifer, just curious?
Certainly, there's been some discussion about the pros and cons for it. So the decision around going to the two-way streets was made as part of the whole downtown streets plan and that whole public process that occurred back several years ago, about 4 or 5 years ago. So it went through the public process then, and I think people are pretty anxious about how this is going to work. So, whether pro or con about this. So,
and it takes a long time to train yourself to the new traffic pattern. I can remember when Oak was one way, and there was a period of time, like probably back in the 80s, that Oak was a one-way street, and then they decided to make that two-way, and it took me quite years to get trained to look both ways when crossing Oak. The interesting thing on the whole people complaining is that I can remember tons of complaints about being one-way, all these one-way streets over the years. So, of course, you can never please everyone. I guess my biggest question on the whole traffic flow would be what's going to happen with that intersection at Church and First, because that seems like we're going to kind of be aiming people down Church now, because there's going to be a signal at Fifth and Church, and people coming down Fifth will, it'll be their last chance to turn and head south, basically, or east and then south. So we'll probably get a lot more people traveling through that intersection at Church and First, where Bridge Street's also coming in just across the street, but kind of at an odd angle. What are the concerns there with that intersection?
I think as far as concerns, the alignment really is the concern, because they don't line up directly across from each other, and that's Church and Bridge on First. So you have an offset intersection. You're right about Church being used a little more in the future with that having a light. It really depends where the traffic's coming from. One of the biggest differences from what people are thinking about with two-way is there'll be no left-hand turn from 5th onto Pine if you're traveling southbound on 5th Avenue. So right now you can take that left on Pine and then get on the southbound off-ramp, but there will not be a left there. So a lot of people will use Church if they're traveling that direction. If they have no interest in visiting or stopping downtown, they'd likely go down Church. When they get to that intersection of Church, First, and Bridge, they'll only be able to take a right at that. There will be no lefts there. That's one of the turning restrictions.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
If you're wanting to go downtown, likely you'll turn at Cedar, because that's your destination. And I think, that's that adjustment we have to make, that's a two-way road here in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the direction I think most cars will go. So really removing that left didn't take away that travel demand. If you're wanting to come and go coming from Highway 200 and you're going to be heading south on the Long Bridge, you'd be able to stay on Pine just like you can today. So if you're coming from Dubs and wanting to go south across the Long Bridge and you have no interest in going downtown, you can just take Pine like you do today and head out. You'll also be able to take a left, though, and go downtown like you are today as well. So that opportunity to go downtown with Pine exists. So some of the traffic will be used in Church. I think some will remain on Pine. When we look at the other direction of travel, coming out of Bridge Street, for example, today you can't take a left. It's one way. When we have that intersection striped, it'll be signed and striped with no left turn still today. So you'll still make that right out of Bridge, but you'll be able to turn left on Church should you choose to make that maneuver. So nothing's really changed there. A lot of people, if they wanted to go south from the city beach and take the Long Bridge, would take that right, turn left onto Church, take a left on Second, and take the same maneuver down Pine.
One of the things that just dawned on me, if during the summer when a whole bunch of people are leaving the beach, coming off from Bridge Street and wanting to go south of town and have to go right and then go on to Church Street, is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. That could be a big backup of traffic. Could that? Because they're going to have to wait there to turn left onto Church until the oncoming southbound First Avenue traffic.
Coming out of Bridge, they'll only be able to turn right on Church.
Onto First. Right onto First. Excuse me. Yeah. And then left onto Church.
And then left onto Church, right.
But they're going to have to wait for traffic that's coming. Is there going to be a stop sign or anything?
Yeah, there'll be some stop signs that are added there. And I think that's one of the things that I've tried to stress as I've talked about the two-way reversion in this, is that it is a process. And I think, you know, Chris, you talked about taking a couple years to accommodate the two-way traffic on Oak. I think we're going to see some things happen with deliveries and how we do deliveries downtown, how people travel downtown. And why I stressed on this intersection in particular, it's one we want to watch and monitor. That's why when you look at our first phase of downtown revitalization, I think we're wanting to get into that a little bit today as well. We looked at a section on Cedar so that we can monitor how things are still continuing to happen on First Avenue before we invest the infrastructure to make those permanent improvements. So that if there's adjustments that need to happen, we have time to monitor that, have our design team that's contracted with the city to look at that, and make any recommendations that we see or are challenges that need to be addressed as infrastructure improvements come through those areas.
Until it really starts happening, you really won't know, but you'll be watching.
Yeah, but we did know that we needed to monitor it, but we also knew there were some turning movement restrictions we needed, because that is a critical intersection as we look to the two-way.
And traffic patterns will probably, people will start out trying one route through town, but then they may discover, oh, I'm going to go down Oak instead of Church. So that's going to happen as well. Or they'll come down Cedar now. You'll be able to come down either one of those streets to get to First Avenue. So it'll be interesting as people find their own bearings with a new traffic alignment.
And I'm just going to throw out to all the folks, the wonderful folks who like to ride their bikes all over town, follow the traffic rules, right? And if it's two ways, be in the right place at the right time, because it's going to be different. And if the bikes are doing their job, the bikers, it will help a lot.
I'll tell you what, we see a lot of bicycles going the wrong way down Church.
That's my biggest beef in the world.
And so now at least they'll be going the right with the traffic now instead of against it. So.
Yeah, and I've heard stories. I don't think it's just the bicycles that we've had going the wrong way down Church.
Oh, well, Church. Yeah, we have our office. My day job is right on Church, and we see at least two cars a day going the wrong way. And those guys are just making a mistake. But the bicyclists are doing it knowingly that they're going against traffic, so a little difference.
Yeah,
there.
I think it's real important, especially if you have children, to teach them to be good bicyclists on the city streets. It really helps, and it helps the drivers who are in cars, because nobody wants to have an accident, and I think it's important, and wear helmets.
Okay.
I'm just throwing that out.
Thank you for that, Susie.
That safety.
All you bicyclists, listen up. Let our listeners know that this is the KRFY Morning Show, and we are talking this morning with Jennifer Stapleton and Ryan Lettman from the city of Sandpoint. We've been talking about the street reversion that is coming up, so all drivers out there, heads up. There's going to be big changes coming to the downtown as we go to two-way streets. But let's talk about a little bit further in the future, not that much actually, a downtown redesign project starts right on the heels of the streets reverting. And Ryan, why don't you describe what's going to be happening with the downtown streets, specifically First Avenue and Cedar Street, I think are the big ones.
Yeah, I'll start with Cedar, just because that would be the first improvements you'd see on the schedule. On the 19th, Dennis Fuller with Century West, he's our project manager on the design for downtown, will be making his final design presentation to our city council, looking to move forward into advertising that project out to bid. And what that project is three blocks of downtown revitalization starting at 5th Avenue and going to the intersection of 2nd Avenue. So we're looking at that area kind of between the Chevron and La Quinta, ending down where the Frontier building is, at the light, but not quite going to the other side where we see Baxter's and our coffee shop on the corner there. So that's the extent of the project as far as the limits, but it's a project that would likely start in June and go until the first part of November. And what that means is we'd be tearing up the sidewalks from building to building, rebuilding the new street in there, putting in the pedestrian bulbs at the intersections. There's a 5-foot furnishing strip behind the curb on each side, and that's where you'd see the red pavers that we've seen in the downtown revitalization projects in the past, but provides an area for the street trees, the furniture, the trash receptacles, the bicycle racks, and then still provides about an 8 to 10 foot wide sidewalk space in front of the buildings. One of the changes you would see from some of the projects that have occurred on the interior of downtown is the location of the bioinfiltration swales that treat the stormwater coming off the roads. And they've pushed those into the corners, into portions of those pedestrian bulbs where they make sense to treat the stormwater downtown. And then they've protected those a little bit with a seating wall around. So there'll be something that's more of a physical feature that we can see, but also something with some function that can be used in downtown. So the same theme will be there with the street benches, with the type of bike racks or the staples that we've seen downtown, and really just start to give a new look to downtown that also serves as a new gateway. And as I talked about, you know, thinking about First Avenue to Two-Way, it'll be a different view corridor you see, or a view shed as you drive into downtown. So at the intersection of Cedar and 4th, they're going to be bidding out what it would take to make that a concrete intersection. Behind that, on your way into downtown, is where there's an existing sign bridge with the signage telling you which way to go. That will no longer be a state route, but the state's going to leave that structure for us, and an opportunity for our Arts Commission or others to look at how we can make more of a gateway signage as you enter the downtown retail core. So
like an arch or something neat like that. Yeah,
mm-hmm. It'll certainly give a new look to our downtown, and really it'll be more of the destination as a way to move goods and materials through Sandpoint along a state route. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's actually pretty exciting, all the changes that are possible now. And this is really made possible because of the street reversion, basically, with the state route going from, as it currently winds through downtown, down Pine to First, up back up Cedar. Now the state route's going to be just along 5th. So traffic coming from Priest River on Highway 2 will be able to turn down 5th. And that's enabled the city to take control of those streets back from the state and do this big revamp of the downtown. It's pretty exciting, actually. Is there some infrastructure underneath the streets that's going to be addressed at the same time?
A little bit in that first 3-block corridor. There will be some sewer laterals and some water service laterals that we'll want to change out. If you're going to put the investment into a new street, you know, that's one of my pet peeves. I really don't like to have to come back and tear up a good street. But the main lines in those areas have been lined in the past, and it's been very successful. So the main line and the main structure in that area does not need replacement. Later in the year, and this is the end of August, this brings up our second project for downtown that will be bid out as well here. And that's going to be to replace some of the sewer main on First. And that's work that's going to start near Lake Street at that intersection and then head north just past Church. And so that's a full sewer main replacement that will close down the road a little bit, but that work's not intended to start until after the festival is over. And they intend to get that project completed again about the same time, but that gets that sewer infrastructure out of the way so that as we look at phases 2 and 3 in future years, looking at revitalizing downtown, that won't cause the delays at that time, and we can continue with those projects in a one construction season.
Mm-hmm. And that would be continuing the street redesign of Cedar and then around to First Avenue.
First Avenue. Yeah. And I would say these projects aren't possible without the funding of the Sandpoint Urban Renewal Agency. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, one of the other things, in addition to making the streets two-way, I think as they looked at a byway project eventually coming, you look at the Urban Area Transportation Plan, they were talking about ways to reroute traffic from downtown and started to look at modeling those concepts of two-way traffic and saw some possibility with some volume capacity that they could make that work. The next step always is, where do you get the funding? And so we are monitoring that closely as we move forward with these projects, those funding sources, the project costs, and where can we look to provide some other grant or federal dollars too, if we can, to assist with downtown.
Okay.
Before we get to that, I just want to say, from listening to you speak, Ryan, it's obvious that this is a long-term, well thought out. You have to think about prioritizing, the domino effect, all of those things. And so this has been going on for a long time. We're going to see the more visual results of long-term planning coming up with the two-way change.
The two-way change and the revitalization. Yes, they've been actually planned, and there's been tons of workshops and meetings. So folks that are just hearing about it, it has been underway for quite some time. In the works, and with a lot of public meetings. And along those lines, there is a website that's completely devoted to what's happening with the downtown revitalization. It's sandpointstreets.com. There's a ton of information about the process, how we got to where we're at right now, what the plan is, what the schedule is. So if you want to get informed on what the street project is, go to sandpointstreets.com. And of course, there's the April 19th city council meeting, in which the main contractor for the design is going to be presenting to the city council. So that's another way for people to get informed. And I want to switch up the topic now, still staying with city stuff, but we have a very big meeting coming tonight on Memorial Field and a decision to be made about the field turf. So, Jennifer, can you tell us what's up with Memorial Field, where we are with the construction of the new grandstands, as well as the next phase of decision-making here?
Well, construction of the grandstands is underway, and for anyone who hasn't been over in the area of Memorial Field, it's really worth driving by. You get a real sense of what the final structure is going to look like, and we've had some really positive feedback on overall the design and what it's looking
it's
like
looking
in
great.
That area.
I'll yeah. give you my feedback.
Yeah, yeah. We did have the camera down on site so people could go on the city's website and see that, but the Osprey are back. So
yes,
that
now
camera
the camera's
was
pointing at the Osprey.
Yep, it was the Osprey cam.
They have a building project going on too.
They do,
yeah,
they do. I was on there the
nest.
Other day to look at what was going on in Memorial Field, and I went, well, they're back. So that camera's back on the Osprey, but construction is underway. We are behind schedule from where we had hoped to be at this point in time with same thing, we kind of the theme of the show, weather.
Yeah, it's tough winter for doing that work.
It's definitely been tough, and especially down there for people who are familiar with the challenges just with the turf down there, the drainage there. You know, contractors are dealing with those same issues, so haven't been able to get footings for the gateway down yet and things. But we just had a status meeting last week, and we are about overall in the project a month behind schedule as weather's permitting. They are working overtime on Saturdays to keep things moving and get back in line. But again, the end goal with the project for construction was graduation for our Sandpoint High School seniors. So we're in close coordination with the school district on that. I just had a conversation with Chris Knowles actually earlier this week about it, and we are very confident that people can sit in the seats and they will be done for high school graduation, gateway entry coming in, things like that. Restrooms may not, the restrooms within the grandstand itself will likely not be completed by that date. So it'll be probably a few weeks out before school district makes the final decision on go, no go, having the graduation at that site. But certainly it accommodates more seating. They don't have to do tickets. So I know they really want to have it at that site. And the contractors and we at the city are committed to seating will be available. So on to the next topic for tonight. Tonight at City Council Chambers, 5:30 will be the first of a series of community workshops discussing options for the field. So
the actual turf of the field.
Yes, yes. So options that are being considered are replace the field with artificial turf, a natural grass option, but again, it would be pulling up the field and installing much better drainage. We really have no drainage on the field, so That's the challenge for the playing conditions now. Or there's a hybrid option, which would be a combination of artificial and natural. And so this will be the start of discussions. Our consultant on our turf options, Tom Sherry, will be here for the meeting tonight. We'll also be recording it. That's why the first one is in City Council chambers. And we'll have it up on our website. So anyone
who can't be there. So you can actually watch it live if you go to cityofsandpoint.com.
Yeah.
And
we haven't highly advertised that because we're really encouraging people to come down as much as possible.
We want human beings in the room.
Well, because we want the feedback.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you're at home, we aren't necessarily getting that.
Right.
So, but for those who can't want to be informed in what's going on, absolutely. We'll have it live on the website, and in addition to that, we will have the stream available, a podcast afterward that people will be able to access. We're going to do something different with this particular project and launch a online citizen engagement opportunity where people can kind of weigh in and vote and some discussions. So that will be coming out here. We'll be working on that over the next few weeks. So watch for that to be coming out, and we'll see how it works with this project. And we may use that for other projects moving forward at the city. So again, this Sandpoint's a very opinionated community, which is a good thing, but it can make things challenging at the city. So, you know, we'll need to hear from the public in terms of what they want. At the end of the day, what I can say about this is no matter what option ultimately is chosen, the playing surface is going to be much better than what it is right now. There will be more playing days. So we're confident that, you know, whatever surface we go with in these three options, it's a win for the community and it's a win for our kids.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like in order to get this feedback from the citizens about the options for the playing field, there's going to be a lot of information tonight, because when you think about, is it natural turf or is it artificial, there's infrastructure that comes with both of those. And how that really works out, the best option is to be informed so that you can have these opinions that come up. Because I right now don't know, but I would like to know. So an opportunity tonight at the city meeting. And what time is that again?
That's at 5:30. Mm-hmm. And one of the things for people to know, too, is oftentimes when we think artificial turf, you know, we're imagining that old has rubber balls in it, smells like old tires. And there's really been a lot of evolution in that technology. And so we'll have samples of the artificial turf there at the meeting tonight. So for people who want to just come down and see that, I mean, honestly, with all three options, there's a lot of pros and cons to weigh. So cost certainly is one of those factors, but environmental impacts is another factor. You know, what we can maintain for playing surface. You know, undeniably that artificial surface as opposed to the natural surface during hot weather months, the surface is warmer. So that has an impact, obviously, with festival and people sitting on the grass. So lots to consider here. Mm-hmm. So it'll be some interesting discussion moving forward. And we have a number of months before we need to make a decision. In fact, it was kind of up in the air as to whether we were even going to be able to make a decision. Could we afford to make a decision?
Because, a little bit of news there, because of the whole switch up in the funding source.
Right. So, again, this entire project is funded with the local option tax voted on by our voters in November of 2015. And that is closely tied to state sales tax. So as the legislature was moving forward a bill to repeal the sales tax on groceries, for us, for the local option tax, it would have a significant impact on our funding stream for this project.
Taking out several hundred thousand a year, is that correct?
About 400,000 a year.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So essentially, all of the funding for the field would have been eliminated. Mm-hmm. But the governor vetoed the bill last night. We just got that news. So So it looks like we're back on track with the project. We're within budget, and this will be the next thing for the community to consider.
And that bill may come back around as the legislature works on some of the issues
that the governor had with it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the sales tax that the city has is only going to last for a few more years as well, right?
Right. It was a five-year local option tax that was passed, so it will sunset at the end of the 5 years.
Right.
And again, the concern for us related to this project would be if there's an opportunity to grandfather in the funding that was anticipated. So the tax for this five-year period and ultimately what the legislature decides and what the governor will sign in the future is, representing what the people of the state want. But it was a real funding crisis and a concern for us at the city.
Yes. Yeah. Well, dodge that bullet, at least for the near term. And with that, I hate to say it, because there's so much more to talk about with the city, but we are about out of time.
I just want to say, Jennifer, you've been here for a year. You've really gotten your feet wet, we'll say, into city business. And I noticed recently that you've been sending out notices to people about things that are going on. Tree limb pickup, road closures, and I think we talked about maybe throwing out the how people can get on that list to receive emails.
Yes, thank you, Susie. So the city does have a Facebook page, and so I encourage people to like that page if you're on social media and you're on Facebook, because I do get all of our announcements out there and pretty regularly. But in addition, if you're not into social media, if you go onto the city's website, sandpointidaho.gov, and sign up for our news and announcements, you'll get all of the press releases and announcements that I'm releasing on a regular basis. And where that's really important is as we're moving forward with these traffic changes and impacts, we will be releasing that information on both the website as well as Facebook and working to keep the public informed.
Yeah, stay connected. Find out what's going on.
And you can still find out things via old media like newspapers. So
We get them out there as well. But if you want it hot off the press,
getting
it the same time that I'm sending it out to the news media. And I am releasing both projects of the city as well as what's going on with other contractors. So Vista has a big project in the city right now. It's impacting traffic. And we'll see some street closures here in the next couple of days. So those kinds of announcements we get posted up as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, we want to say thank you to Jennifer Stapleton, Sandpoint City Administrator, and Ryan Luttman, Public Works Director and City Engineer, for coming in and informing us. And let's just make a date to do this on a regular basis. How's that sound?
Sounds great. Thank you for having us this morning. And branch pickup is the week of the 24th through 28th. So
call and get your number.
Right.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay, we're going to go. And by the way, we have a guest coming in for the second part of our show today, and that's the gals from the Panada. That's Patricia Walker-White and Becky Revac. But first, we're going to go out with a song. You know, I was going to do Bob Dylan's A Hard Rain's Gonna Fall, but in honor of Ryan's need for 4 days, I'm going to do the Fifth Dimension Aquarius, Let the Sunshine In. And stay with us. We'll be right back with more of The Morning Show on 88.5 KRFY. And that was the Fifth Dimension Aquarius, Let the Sunshine In, and that is what we're all hoping for a little bit more of. And that was the number one song in 1969 on the Billboard charts. And we are back in the studios of 88.5 KRFY with the continuation of the Wednesday edition of The Morning Show with Chris and Susie. My guests right now are coming back in, and so is Chris. Is Patricia Walker and Becky Revac from the Panada. I call you the Panada gals. So you have a lot going on, and instead of one at a time, we're going to hear all about your spring events.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Speaking of sunshine, good morning.
Okay, well, why don't you just tell us what's going on? You have an event tonight.
So we have a movie, Franz, happening, and we were in a while back and talked about when Becky and I went to the Art House Convergence. This is the film I got to preview. Becky went to a different session that night, and I got to preview this movie and then be a part of Leonard Maltin's discussion with the director after, so a little talk back. And it's a very unique with black and white imagery as well as color, and a twist on an older tale. So good film this weekend, and then we have an exciting and I think it's going to be pretty unique concert on Friday with Alan James Teague. And I first met Teague as an extra in one of his movies. So he's one of those gems that just happens to stay in the area, grew up here and stay, and has moved back. And he was directing a film. I had no idea this piano talent was there till I was listening to a discussion about back soundtracks for some of his films, and so ask him if he would come do a concert at the Panada. So his talents are pretty vast, and the neat thing about his piano playing is it's like telling a story. That's what it reminds me of.
So the concert is Friday night.
So that's Friday night at 7:30, and tickets are available on our website or at the door. And then we also have coming up another exciting concert, and that is Yarn. And Yarn doesn't fit in a specific box, so I'm not even going to say one genre, because we've been listening to their CD nonstop since we booked it. And they are very unique, very fun. They have some really funny music videos. I posted a couple on our Facebook site. They've been nominated for a Grammy. Is that correct, Beck?
Yep, a Grammy. And then Rolling Stones wrote them up as a download of the day last year.
Yeah. So I just want to say they're also going to come up to the KRFY studios on Wednesday, right before their concert. So people can tune in at 4 o'clock and get a preview of that Wednesday evening concert. And I've been listening. They're from North Carolina. Yeah. It is a very eclectic mix to what's going on with their music, but they have a lot of stringed instruments. I'll just say that.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing I think that you're going to find from what I've reviewed of them and looked is that you're going to see them for pretty cheap price on a Wednesday in Sandpoint, Idaho, and then pretty soon you're not going to be able to afford to bring them back.
Right, they're emerging. I call those bands emerging.
Absolutely.
It's a one-time chance.
Exactly. And if their videos are anything like their personalities, we're in for a little humor and a really good show.
Yeah, I know. I got to check them out. So, and we have their music in our system. I think we're going to do a little bit of features on our local show. So,
excellent. Good.
Wednesday, 4 o'clock here at the KRFY Studios live.
19th.
On the 19th.
And we should mention
and then
that
at the Panada.
You mentioned it a little bit. I'll mention it again. It's really a bargain.
Absolutely.
To these guys in a
absolutely
what is charged here compared to what would be charged in a big metro area is probably half.
Right. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And probably even a little less than half, actually. Yeah. If you were to go see them, you know, even in Spokane, I'm sure it'd be considerably higher.
Yeah. They're playing all over this part. They're on a tour, and this fellow who brought them in, he just talked them into coming up because there was this off night for them.
Yes.
And so we're very
fortunate. Who's producing this?
Co-producing. Mm-hmm. We are producing it with Maddox Farms.
Okay, nice. Okay. Yeah.
Great. So that's next Wednesday, the 19th.
And then the following night, because we want to make sure you're at the Panada every possible night, is Yarn. As after Yarn is The Shack. And although The Shack has just been released, this is a little bit different. And Becky can fill us in on
The reason why this is a little bit different is we're going to be having the producer, Brad Cummings, will be present in the building that night with while The Shack is screening. He'll basically present it, and then he'll do a Q&A afterwards. And Brad Cummings is the producer of the film and the book. He's been a part of both of those things.
Was he a producer on the book? You mean he was a
co-writer?
He basically got it done. Yeah. I mean, he came in, you know, as the producer for that, and just basically made it get it done.
So The Shack, the book, is about a a spiritual revelation.
That's about a man who was out camping with his family, and his daughter was abducted, and he has to come to terms with it, and he goes back to the scene of the crime and has a surreal experience. One of the quotes I liked, Jim McGraw said, it's not just about spiritual, it's about human emotion. And Tim McGraw has some great tunes in there, by the way, and acts in the film. And Sam Worthington, which we absolutely love and adore. We watched him in Paper Planes here at the Panada, and we look for everything that he's in. So we're looking forward to it. But it is unique to have this gentleman visit Sandpoint. He happens to know some folks here. So that's how this came to be. He'll only be there for the Thursday night show, although the Panada will be showing the movie on the days following.
So that's the 20th. It's a Thursday night. And it will have the director of the show, Brad Cummings, and the name of the movie is The Shack.
The Shack, right. Yeah.
And then it will show again on April 22nd, 23rd.
Correct.
So, yeah.
Without the Q&A. So the Q&A would be the hot ticket there.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. And that was thanks to Kachava. They helped us bring in Brad.
Oh, no kidding. Nice.
Yeah.
So, and then we have The Zookeeper's Wife and After the Storm coming up after that. A few of the things on our film list.
Yeah. One of the cool things that we're doing too for actually, a friend of ours for the most part, but we're getting he's going to be using our little theater, and he's showing his very first full-length feature film called Emily. He is a Northwest filmmaker, Ryan Graves, and I've known him since he put a film into the Sandpoint Film Festival, a short called Mr. Right, and we've been in touch ever since that 3 years ago. And so we've stayed in contact, stayed friends. I went over to see this film, Emily, at the Magic Lantern, where he showed it. And so then he said, what do you think? You know, I think I can bring it to Sandpoint. And I said, sure, yeah, if you want to. And I talked to Trish about it. And we just made the choice to bring him in. And so it's going to be showing at the Little Theater starting on Friday, April 28th. And then he will actually be there on Saturday night and do a Q&A. So he'll be there. He's going to come back
on Saturday, April 29th.
Yes.
Yeah. So that was kind of a full. Sorry, Chris. It was kind of a full circle celebration of why we have the Sandpoint Film Festival. So for us, it was like celebrating why those films come into the festival and celebrating somebody who went on from there and used that as a stepping stone to do the next step. So
A lot of support here in Sandpoint and especially by the Panada to support beginning filmmakers and
emerging filmmakers. Emerging. Is that what we say, Susie?
Yeah, I like that. So that kind of brings Sandpoint into the forefront of that kind of support,
absolutely,
a film-oriented community, amongst other things. And we started the year in January by having an actor in a feature film with Viggo Mortensen, Captain Fantastic, and now we've moved on. So this is happening throughout the year, which
absolutely.
Is really pretty cool.
Right. And then we have one more big film to announce, and that's Colossal. And that is the other film that we screened at Art House Convergence. And we're really excited for people to come see it. It's very unique concept, and just a lot of fun, actually.
It is fun. Anne Hathaway stars in it. It's definitely different for what she's done in the past also. Very fun film, though. Unique in the fact that it's definitely starts in one place and takes you somewhere where you couldn't even imagine that it would take you.
Yeah. And then this week.
And this is a rom-com with Anne Hathaway and Jason Sudeikis.
Yep.
Yeah. And I don't even know if I would call it a rom-com. It's one of the. it's a gritty rom-com.
Well, I'm just
rom-com.
Reading from your website, so. it's a rom-com.
Right.
And speaking of websites, all of this information is on your website, and that's panada.org.
And people will be wanting to rush to our website this week because this is the release. You'll be able to purchase tickets for Cowboy Junkies, who are coming July 8th. So tickets go on sale on the 14th on our website. So get them there first.
That's a pretty big act to have at the Panada.
Yeah, so exciting. That's Far North Productions bringing that one in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
Cowboy
Junkies. So the tickets go on sale midnight, April 14th, and that particular show could easily sell. Is it just one show?
Just one show.
Yeah.
Okay. So mark that on your calendars, listeners.
This Friday night, tickets go on sale. Is that right? After this Friday at 8 in the morning?
For Cowboy Junkies.
Well, actually, I think that goes on sale on the 13th at 12:01.
Okay.
They are on sale on the 14th.
Get your tickets while you can.
At 12:01. On the 13th.
That will be one of those sellout concerts, I have a feeling.
Absolutely. Yeah. But by 10 o'clock in the morning, you want to make sure you got your ticket.
Yeah.
There you go.
So then the only really other thing that we have coming in, I mean, as far as that's different or unique, is a film called After the Storm, which is a Japanese film about a young father and working out his relationship with his son. And it's a really sweet, it's actually kind of one of those sweet, funny, it's a foreign film, like we're back in the foreign film market, but it's nice. It's really nice. I think people will enjoy it also.
And that's going to be showing May 11th, 13th, and 14th.
Correct.
Yeah. So, then, but you also have a musical concert coming with the Music Conservatory.
Yes.
On April 25th. And that's called Children Performing for Children.
Children, yes.
So that'll be a live performance.
At 6 o'clock, yep.
And
then the Pondere Arts Council has their annual Missoula Children's Theater. So if you want to make sure that you get your child in for the auditions, because they happen at the first of the week, and then those kids practice, and then their big culmination is to come to the Panada Theater and perform it on a stage. And that's launched a few people in that area.
And that
so
tends
let's
to
just
fill the theater up as well.
Yeah, all those nice parents, to have parents and grandparents, but it's nice for the community to come out and say this support is important, and this is, you know, because this is a training ground for kids. So,
do you know which play they're doing this year?
Gulliver's Travels.
Oh, right? Well, that's going to be fun.
Yeah, and they always have unique little adaptations. And then Becky has one more project she's been working on that I was thinking we should probably just mention a little bit. And that is, you know, it is going into our 90th year. So we've been posting little 90th things on our Facebook page. But Becky's getting ready to launch a change program.
Well, yeah, I'm on the committee for the Panada's 90th birthday. And so we're starting this coming weekend. 90 pounds of change for 90 years. And so we're going to be taking how it's going to work is it's a big jug of change that we're going to take around. And hopefully people will be filling it up. And it'll go from basically site to site every 2 weeks. And this week it'll be starting out at the paint bucket. So if anybody's interested in throwing in some spare change for the Panada, just go on over to the paint bucket. That'll be starting up this weekend.
And watch for it around town at other places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So is there going to be a birthday party?
Yes,
absolutely. Yeah.
When will that be?
That's on our birthday,
November
18th. November, yeah.
Okay.
So lots of things leading up to that very important 90th birthday for the Panada. Yeah. A lot to celebrate with the fact that we have this beautiful, as Patricia calls it, historic, beautiful.
Historically hip.
Hip Panada Theater right in our very own town. Well, we want to say thank you so much for coming in, giving us an update. You know you are always welcome.
We appreciate you.
Yes.
Well, we appreciate your listeners.
Yes. And we're going to go out with we have 3 minutes and 54 seconds, Chris. We could go out with a song. We could say goodbye right now.
Well, anything you want to mention? I do want to mention that starting next week, we're going to be interviewing school board candidates. We're going to have a series of three shows in which we talk with the candidates for the Lake Pondere School District. Next week, we're going to, on the 12th, April 19th, we're going to be talking with Carrie Kelly and Anita Perry. They're the two for their zone. I think they're in zone five. And then we are going to also be interviewing candidates for the other two zones that are up on the May 3rd and the May 10th show. So we are going to be getting into...
Prior to the election on the 16th.
Yeah. And we're inviting all the candidates in. They have not all confirmed, but Anita and Carrie Kelly have both confirmed for next week. So we'll be starting with them.
Go ahead.
And of course, I hope people will tune in and get acquainted with candidates.
Yeah, become informed. If you want to be a good voter, it's good to know the issues and how people stand on them. Also, on the 19th and 26th of April, KRFY is hosting a volunteer and broadcast training. All of our broadcasters here are volunteers, but we like to get them well-trained so they can take over on the board and play music or have a show. So that is the 19th and 26th. If you're interested, you can call 265-2992 and sign up or just find out more information. On May 6th, we're having a Viggo Mortensen art auction opening at Siringo Cyclery from 11 to 3. The online auction runs from May 6th through the 21st at biddingforgood.com. And then, of course, June 9th and 10th, it's our KRFY annual membership drive. So we have a lot of things going on, too. And you can always go to our website. Well, we'll put those things on. Or our Facebook. And please go to Facebook and like us. It's always a fun place to find out what's going on. And next and tomorrow on the KRFY Morning Show, Jack Peterson, his guest is Debbie Love from the Bonner Community Food Bank. And that's all
that's
I have to say.
That's probably it.
Yep.
We can have like 2 minutes of music now.
Yep. Well, I thought again, let's talk about sunshine, right? The Beatles, Good Day, Sunshine. And we hope you have a beautiful day.
Yes. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.